Welcome to the East County Magazine Live Radio Show, the voice of East County, bringing you the hottest news and coolest events from the communities of San Diego's East County. We're your community radio, representing the public interest, not special interests. Broadcasting from the heart of East County in Descanso with your host, Miriam Raftery.
This is Miriam Raftery with the East County Magazine Show on KNSJ 89.1 FM Descanso, recording at our studio in the East County Wellness Center in El Cajon. Today we have some major updates in the story of that massive natural gas leak north of Los Angeles, now the worst in U.S. history. Criminal charges have been filed against Sempra Energy's Southern California Gas Company, as well as civil suits. Plus, watchdog groups, including Citizens Oversight right here in East County, have filed a petition calling on the Public Utilities Commission to launch an investigation into the environmental disaster, so stay tuned for details. We'll also be talking about the results of the Iowa caucus in the presidential race. And then, from Public News Service, we'll have the day's top national news headlines, including some highlights from the Democratic debate in New Hampshire and some disturbing new findings on lead in drinking water. Next up, learn why health authorities' concerns over Zika virus are growing now that a sexually transmitted case of the virus has been confirmed in the U.S. Find out what you should know to protect yourself and your partner if either of you has traveled to a Zika-infested area. If you're planning to party hardy on Super Bowl Sunday, here's a tip. The sheriff will be holding DUI patrols across the county, so be sure to bring a designated driver or use transit after the game. We'll have an update for you today on the recent storm, and you may be surprised to hear just how windy it was in some parts of our region. Then on Destination East County, we'll tell you about the most fun festivals and events coming up over the next couple weeks, including some very romantic places to take your sweetheart for Valentine's Day weekend, from some wine and food pairings at local wineries and restaurants to an open house at an alpaca farm. Other special events coming up include a Native American powwow, a harpsichord and violin concert, a bluegrass jam, and a Big Bad Voodoo Daddy concert live in East County. Finally, with the Grammys slated for next Monday, today we thought it would be a good time to re-air our interview with Windwalker and the MCWs, that's Multicultural Women. Windwalker is a Lakeside resident and Native American medicine woman who founded the group, and their CD, Generations, is nominated for a Grammy. You can hear some of their Grammy-nominated music on today's show. So stay tuned for all of these stories on today's edition of the East County Magazine Radio Show, where East County matters.
Criminal charges have been filed against Southern California Gas, owned by Sempra Energy in San Diego, over the massive natural gas leak at its San Aliso facility north of Los Angeles. The four misdemeanor charges were filed Monday by Los Angeles District Attorney Jackie Lacey. The leak has pumped 80,000 metric tons of methane into the air, sickening residents of nearby Porter Ranch and causing thousands of households to relocate. A separate civil suit was also filed Monday by California Attorney General Kamala Harris. The new suits, along with those filed by residents, add to the financial toll that Southern California Gas Company and potentially Sempra ratepayers may ultimately be forced to cover. The civil suit, filed on behalf of the California Air Resource Board, alleges that the company violated state health and safety laws by failing to promptly control the natural gas release and report it to authorities. The suit also cites environmental damage caused by the leak, undermining the state's efforts to reduce greenhouse gas emissions to slow the pace of climate change. L.A. District Attorney Lacey says it's important that the gas company be, quote, held responsible for its criminal actions and that the Aliso Canyon facility be brought into compliance with the law, adding, I believe we can best serve our community using the sanctions available through a criminal conviction to prevent similar public health threats in the future. The criminal complaint charges the company with three counts of failing to report the release of hazardous materials from October 23rd to October 26th last year, and one count of discharging air contaminants which began on October 23rd last year until the present. If convicted, the company could be fined up to $25,000 per day for each day that it failed to notify the California Office of Emergency Services. The company could also be fined up to $1,000 per day for air pollution violations. Arraignment is set for February 17th. The civil suit filed by the state of California seeks an injunction, civil penalties, and restitution for damages. The state's suit alleges claims of creating a public nuisance as well as health and safety code violations for emitting air contaminants, failing to report hazardous material discharges, and impairment of the state's natural resources. Attorney General Harris says, quote, "The impact of this unprecedented gas leak is devastating to families in our state, our environment, and our efforts to combat global warming. Southern California Gas Company must be held accountable," unquote. She adds that this gas leak has caused significant damage to the Porter Ranch community, as well as statewide efforts to reduce greenhouse gas emissions and slow the impacts of climate change. Harris pledged to lead a cross-jurisdictional enforcement action to, quote, "ensure justice and relief for Californians and our environment," unquote. Southern California Gas has indicated it is drilling an 8,500-foot deep relief well in hopes of plugging the leak by later this month, if all goes well. The company has indicated it will respond to the state's lawsuit through the judicial process. Reporting for East County Magazine on KNSJ, the Network for Social Justice, this is Ed Barrena.
Citizens Oversight, an East County-based watchdog organization, has filed a petition along with Consumer Watchdog calling on the California Public Utilities Commission to hold an open investigation into the massive methane gas leak at Aliso Canyon, north of Los Angeles. Raymond Lutz, founder of Citizens Oversight, states, "The worst environmental disaster in California history is continuing to occur without any investigation by the California Public Utilities Commission. History is repeating itself before our eyes," he adds. "The CPUC has failed to regulate effectively, as demonstrated by the San Bruno gas explosion, which killed 8 people and devastated a neighborhood." Lutz says the lack of oversight by the PUC is a pattern that also occurred after the San Onofre nuclear plant failure and the 2007 wildfires, both of which resulted in bailouts of utilities at the expense of ratepayers. The gas leak at San Aliso has been handled in total secrecy, according to a Consumer Watchdog press release. The watchdog groups contend that the PUC is violating state laws which require public agencies to operate in an open and transparent manner when making life or death decisions, such as at San Aliso, a site owned by Southern California Gas Company, a Sempra Energy company. Former San Diego City Attorney Mike Aguirre and his law partner Maria Severson are representing the watchdog groups seeking the investigation. The gas company says that it is in the fifth and final phase of drilling a relief well aimed at halting the leak that began October 23rd and has forced relocation of over 3,000 families. The company anticipates completing the relief well drilling by late February. A recent press release from the gas company states, "Our top priority remains the safety of those working on the site and the residents of the community." But the company adds, "We have developed various contingency plans in case we encounter unexpected developments in the relief well drilling process that could slow our current progress." Reporting for East County Magazine on KNSJ, this is Miriam Raftery.
This is Ed Barrena with news from the presidential campaign trail. Monday night's Iowa caucus, the opening of the presidential primary season, has made clear that the competition is fierce on both sides of the political aisle. On the Republican side, Texas Senator Ted Cruz won an upset victory over frontrunner and business mogul Donald Trump by a 28-24% margin, with Florida Senator Marco Rubio getting 23% of the vote, just 1 point behind Trump, and emerging as a viable candidate. Neurosurgeon Ben Carson got 9.3%, followed by Kentucky Senator Rand Paul at 4.5%. All the other candidates had less than 3%. On the Democratic side, New York Senator and former First Lady Hillary Clinton appears to have won by the narrowest possible margin over Vermont Senator Bernie Sanders. Each received 50% of the vote, a statistical tie, with a mere handful of delegates deciding the outcome. This was the closest Iowa caucus in history. Maryland Governor Martin O'Malley, the third Democrat in the race, had 8 delegates, but later announced he was dropping out of the race. There were complaints of dirty tricks by candidates in both parties. Carson's campaign manager accused Cruz supporters of falsely tweeting and telling Carson supporters at some caucus gatherings that he had dropped out of the race, persuading some to shift their votes. Sanders supporters at one caucus said that after their candidate won handily and many voters left to go home before a blizzard struck, the Clinton camp called for a recount. Iowa can hardly be viewed as the mandate that Clinton hoped to achieve. The night was clearly a win for Sanders, a Jewish self-proclaimed democratic socialist who has run on a platform of ending the wealth gap in America, reining in big banks, and providing universal health care for all Americans. The biggest loser, however, seemed to be Trump, who was polling far ahead in Iowa and nationally. So what may account for his sudden drop? Turnout on the Republican side was high, and Iowa traditionally has selected evangelicals in recent years, hence the appeal of Cruz, an evangelical Christian. Trump, with multiple divorces and admitted affairs with married women, perhaps lacked the moral qualities sought by most evangelical voters. But Iowa hasn't been a good predictor of the nation as a whole. Recent Iowa caucus winners included Rick Santorum and Mike Huckabee, both of whom failed to win broad support nationwide. Another factor in Iowa may have been Rubio's purchase of a half-hour infomercial airing on TV networks the eve before the caucuses. Rubio laid out his vision for the future and promised not to be a candidate who would be an embarrassment, a clear swipe at Trump's blustering and racist remarks. Rubio, a Cuban-American, may also have motivated the growing number of Latino voters in Iowa to turn out, despite his recent shift away from the comprehensive immigration reforms he once supported.
Welcome to the Public News Service Daily Newscast for Friday, February 5, 2016. I'm Veronica Carter. Here's what we're covering today. The Democratic presidential candidates faced off in a debate in New Hampshire. President Obama is planning to reveal a $10 a barrel oil tax. And today is Go Red for Women Day. Another debate between the presidential candidates tops today's news. Democrats took to the stage in New Hampshire. Bernie Sanders slammed Hillary Clinton for being a member of the establishment.
Millions of Americans are giving up on the political process. And they're giving up on the political process because they understand the economy is rigged.
Clinton denied that and said things need to be fixed in America.
I believe that we can get back on the right track, that I want to imagine a country where people's wages reflect their hard work, where we have health care for everyone and where every child gets to live up to his or her potential.
Clinton also said Sanders' proposals are not achievable. In the budget he will unveil next week, President Obama will propose a $10 a barrel tax on oil. White House says it's part of a push for clean transportation projects. The fee would be paid by oil companies, but the proposal's not likely to get very far in the GOP-controlled Congress. In the wake of the water contamination in Ohio and Michigan, some of Ohio's congressional leaders are proposing legislation to help communities efficiently address threats from lead.
Water samples from five homes in Sebring tested high for lead last month, reportedly nearly 5 months after the Ohio EPA and city leaders were aware of the contamination. Senator Sherrod Brown is drafting legislation that would direct the federal EPA to automatically alert the public in contamination cases if local or state officials fail to do so within 15 days. Brown contends people shouldn't be left in the dark.
No more arguing about whose responsibility it is while families continue drinking water that we know is not safe. No more finger pointing after the fact. Our bill will lay down a marker that when there's a problem with the water, people have a right to know.
Thursday, Ohio Congressman Tim Ryan and his colleagues from Michigan introduced the Safe Drinking Water Improved Compliance Awareness Act. It would require prompt notification when lead concentrations in drinking water are above federal requirements. Mary Sherman reporting.
In Florida, state senators are poised to vote on a bill that would roll out the welcome mat for fracking operations statewide, despite grave concerns from the scientific community. More from Mona Shand.
The bill, which already passed the state house, would not require fracking companies to disclose the chemicals or potential carcinogens used in the process. Dr. Lynn Ringenberg of Tampa is the national president of Physicians for Social Responsibility, and she says the speed with which the legislation is moving is alarming.
I think they're asking the citizens of Florida to be guinea pigs, and I'm a pediatrician, and I say, you're asking us to trade the health of our children and our grandchildren to make you wealthy.
Supporters of the bill say it could lead to greater energy independence and argue that oil and gas drilling has been done in Florida for decades. Fracking, however, involves the controversial practice of blasting large amounts of water, chemicals, and sand into the ground for oil and gas recovery, which critics say comes with a high risk of water and air contamination.
Representatives from nine northeastern states gathered for the first time since the Paris Climate Agreement to talk about cutting pollution and reducing global warming. Travis Madsen, the state campaign director for Environment America, says the next important step forward is to strengthen the regional greenhouse gas initiative to reduce more power plant pollution faster.
We're going to need to put some wind farms out into the ocean that can generate clean electricity for use in our homes and our businesses and also to power our vehicles.
This past December, the United States joined nearly every country in the world, signaling an intention to protect the world from climate change. Paris Climate Agreement points toward a future powered by 100% clean energy. Opponents have called it a war on coal, and they say the Environmental Protection Agency has overstepped its authority. Former drug exec Martin Shkreli took to Twitter to make fun of lawmakers who asked him questions that he refused to answer. Skrelly pleaded the fifth in a congressional hearing over his 5,000% price hike for an HIV drug. Later, he tweeted, "Hard to accept that these imbeciles represent the people in our government." February is American Heart Month, and the goal is to help raise awareness of heart health. The American Heart Association is asking people today to support the Go Red for Women campaign.
Chrissy Meyer with the American Heart Association of South Dakota says the idea is simple. Just wear something red and show it off.
Heart disease is the number one killer of women. And so we are aiming to help women across America and right here in the Dakotas to take charge of their health in one doctor visit.
Meyer says a well woman checkup is fully covered by most insurance providers and could help spot red flags for possible heart health issues. The association is also running several events throughout the month in Sioux Falls. I'm Brandon Campbell reporting.
Well, here's a scary report. Cities with teams in the Super Bowl see a rise in flu deaths. Tulane University researchers say the Super Bowl cities host more local gatherings, and they pass more influenza because people share chips and dips. The big game also usually happens during the height of flu season. Well, if you sit down a lot, you could be increasing your risk of getting a deadly disease. A new Dutch study suggests that even an extra 40 minutes a day of sitting can dramatically increase your risk of getting type 2 diabetes. They say participants who sat for 9 hours a day were 22% more likely to develop the disease. Experts say if you do sit a lot, you just need to get up and stretch and walk around. I'm Veronica Carter for Public News Service, member and listener supported, and online at publicnewsservice.org.
You're listening to KNSJ 89.1 FM Descanso, the network for social justice.
This is Miriam Raftery with a health report. The bad news about Zika virus keeps getting worse. Days after the World Health Organization declared a global emergency over Zika virus, a patient in Texas has contracted Zika via sexual contact, the U.S. Centers for Disease Control confirms. Zika was initially thought to be spread only by mosquito bites. The Dallas case is the second confirmed instance of Zika transmitted via sexual contact through a partner bitten by a mosquito overseas. Health officials now advise that people potentially exposed to Zika abstain or use condoms during intercourse for at least 28 days after exposure to avoid transmitting the disease.
And pregnant women whose partners have traveled to a Zika-infested area should use condoms for the duration of their pregnancies. Public health officials are also taking steps to protect the blood supply. The Red Cross is asking donors not to give blood for at least 28 days after travel to a Zika-infested area.
Zika is believed to have caused an estimated 4,000 babies in Brazil and over 2,100 babies in Colombia to be born with microcephaly, or small skull, which causes brain damage, although the degree of that severity varies widely. Babies with microcephaly have also been born elsewhere, including Hawaii, to women who contracted Zika abroad. Zika has also been linked to Guillain-Barré syndrome, which causes paralysis, usually temporary but sometimes permanent. About 80% of the people who contract Zika have no symptoms, however, making it difficult to assess just how widely the illness has spread. Whether persons who test positive for Zika without symptoms can spread the disease via sexual transmission remains unknown. The Centers for Disease Control has issued a travel warning for 22 countries and territories. That includes Mexico, just south of our border. It also includes Cape Verde, Africa, the following places in the Caribbean: Barbados, Curacao, the Dominican Republic, Guadalupe, Haiti, Martinique, the Commonwealth of Puerto Rico, St. Martin, Jamaica, and the U.S. Virgin Islands. In Central America, countries on the list include Costa Rica, El Salvador, Guatemala, Honduras, Nicaragua, and Panama. Also on the list is American Samoa in the Pacific Islands and the South American countries of Bolivia, Brazil, Colombia, Guyana, Ecuador, French Guyana, Paraguay, Suriname, and Venezuela. Pregnant women and those who may become pregnant are urged to avoid travel to these destinations. Many airlines are now offering full refunds to passengers who were ticketed to Zika-infested areas. Men and women who must travel to Zika-infested areas are advised to use insect repellent, wear long sleeves and long pants, and keep sleeping areas protected with screens or windows closed. Two species of Aedes mosquitoes that can carry Zika virus have been found in San Diego County in recent months. Though officials do not believe a severe Zika outbreak is likely here due to cooler winters that can kill the mosquitoes, residents are urged to get rid of all standing water that could breed the small, striped, and aggressive Aedes mosquitoes, which are active during daytime and can breed even indoors in as little as a thimble full of water.
The Sheriff's Department is teaming up with the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration to keep impaired drivers off San Diego's roadways on Super Bowl Sunday. Watch for increased DUI patrols by sheriff's deputies across the county beginning on Sunday, February 7th at about 3 p.m. and lasting through 5 a.m. on Monday. The sheriff's department's goal is to remove impaired drivers from roadways and prevent crashes that can cause serious injury or death. Last year, the sheriff's department arrested over 1,500 people for driving under the influence. Sheriff Bill Gore says, quote, "Super Bowl Sunday should be a fun and safe time, on and off the gridiron. Do the responsible thing. Don't drink and drive. Buzzed driving is drunk driving," unquote. The sheriff's department has given the following tips for a safe Super Bowl Sunday. Plan a safe way home before the game begins. Before drinking, designate a sober driver and leave your car keys at home. If you are impaired, use a taxi, ride-sharing service such as Uber or Lyft, call a sober friend or family member, or use public transportation. If you see an impaired driver on the road, call 911 immediately. Reporting for East County Magazine on KNSJ, this is Ed Barena.
A fierce storm that roared through our region over the weekend toppled trees that killed a woman in Pacific Beach, injured a 10 News crew in Mira Mesa, and sent a Santee mom to the hospital after a tree crashed down on her van. Downed trees destroyed a popular wedding spot at the San Diego Botanic Garden. High winds also toppled trees and patio furniture across East County. The storm caused power outages to over 18,000 customers as SDG&E crews worked overtime to restore power. The storm brought wind gusts locally as high as 85 miles per hour at Harrison Park in Julian and 72 miles per hour in downtown Julian. Other wind-struck areas include Mission Trails Regional Park with 69 miles per hour, Lake Cuyamaca in Mount Laguna at 67 miles per hour, Alpine, Jamul, Ramona, and Boulevard all at 59 miles per hour. The storm also dumped heavy rainfall and some snow in mountain areas. Palomar Observatory measured 3.68 inches during 48 hours ending early Monday morning. During the same time, Lake Cuyamaca got nearly 3 inches of rain. La Mesa, Santee, and Lakeside each got a half an inch of rain, while out in the desert, Borrego got less than half an inch. The storm also brought snowfall to some unusual places, including Ocotillo in the desert. Descanso residents awoke to a light dusting of snow, and snow plows were even needed along a stretch of Interstate 8 near Pine Valley. Reporting for East County Magazine on KNSJ, this is Tasha Matthews.
Welcome to Destination East County with your host, Rebecca Williamson.
And Leon Thompson, bringing you the top festivals, events, and attractions across East County
each week.
This is Ed Barena.
And this is Miriam Raftery, guest hosting this week's Destination East County, which includes a Native American powwow at Cuyamaca College, an author speaking on how to cook for a very big crowd in Lemon Grove, hawk watching in Ramona, and a breakfast with Supervisor Diane Jacob in La Mesa.
Plus, we'll have previews of coming attractions, including some Valentine's Day weekend events, such as food and wine pairings and open farm days at an alpaca ranch and a camel dairy. So stay tuned for all of these events and more.
Cuyamaca College will host its second annual Native American powwow on Saturday, February 6th from 10:30 in the morning to 8 p.m. on the front lawn in front of the college's communications center. This free event will feature Native American dancers, drummers, and bird singers, as well as Native American arts and crafts, fry breads, and information booths. Cuyamaca College is located in the Rancho San Diego community in El Cajon. For more information, you can visit cuyamacacollege.edu.
The Barona Cultural Museum features several fascinating classes on Native American culture and crafts, including spearmaking on February 6th, a Native Foods Yucca cooking class on March 12th, and more. All classes are from 10:30 in the morning till 3:30 in the afternoon. The Barona Cultural Center and Museum is located on the Barona Indian Reservation in Lakeside. For more information, see baronamuseum.org.
The Lemon Grove Historical Society invites you to meet Louise Matthews, the former 21-year chief of food service for the San Diego County Prisons. She'll bring her book, Jailhouse Cuisine, from the right side of the bars, and describe how to produce 40,000 meals a day. This event will be held on Saturday, February 6th at 2 p.m. in the Lemon Grove Library.
Hawkwatch, a free celebration of raptors, continues at the Wildlife Research Institute in Ramona Grasslands at 10 a.m. every Saturday in February, rain or shine. You can observe both wintering and resident raptors, including eagles, hawks, falcons, and owls. 19 species of raptors have been recorded at this raptor hotspot, where you will learn the life histories of these beautiful birds, as well as the importance of the Ramona Grassland ecosystem. In addition to wild raptors, you will also see trained raptors and owls up close. Bring binoculars if you have them, though scopes will be available. For more information, visit wildlife-research.org.
The La Mesa Chamber of Commerce invites you to attend the first breakfast meeting Wednesday on February 10th from 7:30 in the morning to 9 a.m. at Marie Callender's restaurant. Supervisor Diane Jacob will be the guest speaker. Reservations can be made at the website lamesachamber.com.
City folks are invited to come surround yourselves with cute animals at a Valentine's Weekend Open Ranch at Alpacas of San Diego, located in Descanso on River Drive. This free event will be held Saturday, February 13th from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. You can meet the animals, learn about alpacas, and even shop for a gift for your sweetheart, including jewelry and crafts made by local artists, natural soaps, and of course, alpaca wool products. There will also be a crafts table for kids. For more information, you can visit alpacasofsandiego.com.
The February Open Farm Tour and Show on Valentine's Day weekend at the Oasis Camel Dairy in Ramona features bouncy baby lambs, curious camels you can ride and cuddle, plus the oh-so-fun Camel Dairy Animal Friends Show. This event will be held Saturday and Sunday, February 13th and 14th from 1 o'clock to 4 o'clock. You can also pamper yourself and the ones you love there with camel milk skincare products, or try a bit of decadent camel milk chocolate. You'll also meet farm owners Gil and Nancy Riegler as they share their unique, precocious pack of farm friends. For details, you can visit cameldairy.com.
What could be a better aphrodisiac than a pairing of wonderful wines and scrumptious desserts? San Pasqual Winery in La Mesa is offering dessert and wine pairing over Valentine's weekend starting on Friday, February 12th and Saturday, February 13th from 6 to 9, plus Sunday, February 14th from 2 to 5 p.m. The Saturday night event will also feature Ruben Delgado performing Spanish and classical guitar music to round out your evening of romance. For details, visit sanpasqualwinery.com.
John Little's Catering will be creating a special evening at the Grant James Winery on February 13th and 14th. The chef will serve up a five-course tasting menu designed to showcase Grant James' new wine releases. This culinary adventure takes place in their old barn. Kim Sparrow from Cheeses from the Cave will be serving cheese, fruit, and wine combinations both days. Kim has crafted a special cheese dusted in cocoa that's been designed to pair with Delphinia's wine, chocolate, and fruit. Vineyard Grant James is located in Ramona. For more information, you can visit vineyardgrantjames.com.
Together for over 23 years, Big Bad Voodoo Daddy will appear in concert at Sequan Casino's Live Up and Close Concert Series on Friday, February 12th at 8 p.m. Big Bad Voodoo Daddy, famously named after an autograph by blues legend Albert Collins, sold millions of records and had their music appear in hundreds of movies and television shows. With sold-out concerts in the Hollywood Bowl and Lincoln Center and appearances with many of the country's finest symphony orchestras, Big Bad Voodoo Daddy continues its decades-long mission to celebrate and revitalize jazz and swing music, America's unique and original musical art form. For more information, you can visit sequan.com.
The San Diego Early Music Society will present Lena Tourbonnet on violin and Kenneth Weiss on harpsichord in a concert on Sunday, February 21st at 3 p.m. in the Cuyamaca College Performing Arts Theater. The concert will feature Baroque music of Jacques de la Guerre, as well as sonatas by Vivaldi and solo harpsichord works by Marchand and Scarlatti. For more information, you can go to cuyamacacollege.edu.
That's all for this week. You can find details on all of these events and more on our calendar and in our festivals and events section online at eastcountymagazine.org.
If you have an event you'd like added to our calendar, or you'd like to sponsor our Destination East County column on our website or the Destination East County show on KNSJ Radio, you can contact editor at eastcountymagazine.org. Destination East County is the most read feature on our website. We'll be back next week with more festivals, events, and attractions in San Diego's East County.
See you around, East County.
This is KNSJ 89.1 FM Descanso in the heart of San Diego's East County.
The East County Magazine show on KNSJ Radio is produced by the nonprofit Heartland Coalition. We're your community news. We reflect your interest, not special interest. You can get involved by volunteering, get trained to be a citizen journalist, and support East County Magazine at www.eastcountymagazine.org. And you can send your news tips and story ideas to editor@eastcountymagazine.org. Now stay tuned for part two of the East County Magazine radio show.
This is East County Magazine's Tribal Beat, bringing you news for and about our region's Native American communities. Thank you. This is Leon Thompson with East County Magazine, and today our very special guest is Wind Walker. Again, she was one of our very first interviews, and they made some beautiful music at our former studio, and she's with us here today. She has a special event coming up because she's been nominated for a Grammy.
Yes.
Tell us about that.
Oh, Awani, our group, Wind Walker and the MCW, our CD name is Generations, and we are in Regional Roots category number 51 for the Grammys this year. We have been nominated in that category.
Congratulations.
Oh, thank you so very much. I'm
so
excited.
Wind Walker and MCW, which is Multicultural Women.
Yes.
And the cover of your CD shows four gorgeous Native American women. It's beautiful.
Thank you. We're also different multicultural. We also have
and
we are honoring my nation's songs, which is the Mi'kmaq, the Cherokee, and the Lenape. Mm-hmm. And we also have a very special, which you heard a little insert today in the beginning, was our bonus track. Our bonus track is called Prairie Road's Journey. And it's all about journey of life and your own roads that you proceed to take. And also know and honor that, because you're here for a story and a journey to make all the better, no matter where you go. So with this CD, that's what we're doing. We are multicultural. There's Chickasaw. There's, like I said, Mexica. There's all different, and even just right down San Diego born. And all we're doing is we're honoring all the songs, the traditional old songs, and we do have some of our originals on there.
And I noticed that on this Prairie Road's Journey, you wrote the words and the music, and there's a steel guitar. And did I hear a harmonica in there?
Yes.
Talk about multicultural. You got the cowboys and the Indians.
Yes, that's what I did. Paul Woroff, who is the owner and wonderful, wonderful producer of Big Fish Studios in Encinitas, California, here, where we did this recording, and we have much more to do. We're going back in January this month to finish up some more CDs. I asked him if he wanted to be on this project, knowing that all our proceeds, 100% of our proceeds of these CDs, go to children all over the world. And so he sat down, and he went into his own studio, and he wrote this beautiful, beautiful piece with the folk guitar and the steel. And then I was sitting and listening, and we were funny because we've been working all day long. And as we were working all day long, he just pulled it out in like 30 seconds or 1 minute or 2 minute and 34 seconds. And I looked at my group and I said, we're not going back in recording. This was like immense and crazy. It was beautiful. Then I said, what am I going to do with this beautiful music? So I was actually driving down Route 5, which everyone knows it's pretty, and that gets really, really wide and big, and all more cars and more colors were coming. And I realized everyone's on a journey. Everyone is on a journey somewhere, and they all have to get there safe and happy, no matter what. So I started singing to it, and that's when it came up with the original songs of the Ways and Yahs, which is also prayer or vocables, we call them. And we put it together. And then another dear musician, a local musician, his name is Dino, he put in the harp on it because
wonderful.
I wanted it to, yeah. So, and also the drum, my sister Loyal Bear, who is the beautiful, another beautiful woman on the CD, she also does the drum every 8 beats, which is the 36-inch cedar drum with
now,
elk hide.
You played that drum for us.
Yes,
you guys
I did.
Played that drum for us, and it was thunderous, and it was the... It was the reflection of our heartbeats, and it stayed with me. It always has.
Oh, well, Wanishi, Wado, thank you so very much, because that's what we're about. We're all about education and keeping up traditions. No matter who you are, where you come from, if you honor and respect everything that you do, and you have the heartbeat of the drum, which is the heartbeat of all, circle of life, everything that is alive has a heartbeat.
Yes, and when I was young, we went to the powwows, and that's what they told me. My grandfather told me that beat, everybody's heart eventually is synced to that drummer at the powwows. So tell me about number 4, the reunion.
Oh, number four. That was an amazing, amazing song. It consists of a small little bird flute, which my sister Loyal Bear, Karen Loyal Bear, is playing. And I'm playing a regular single flute, but we're both in A. And we were had this vision of reunion. And how can we do a reunion of people and loves and friendships through the wind instrument?
Well, let's hear a little bit of that.
Oh, I would love to hear it. Thank you.
Wow, that's beautiful.
Oh, thank you so very, very much. Now, did that bring you on your reunion?
Yes. You know, the funny thing is we just had our 50th class reunion.
Wonderful.
So, another song that caught my eye was Mother's Heartbeat, because I've been reading so much about the powerful Cherokee women, the power from the Native women in America, so many great Native American leaders.
Yes.
And when I saw that, I saw Mother's Heartbeat. You know, that's why the women in Native American society are running things.
Yes.
Because that's the way it should be.
I've always felt
that way.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, tell me about Mother's Heartbeat.
Mother's Heartbeat. Mother's Heartbeat is another original that is written with the heartbeat of the drum and a drone flute. That's also made here locally from a beautiful flute maker.
What's a drone flute?
A drone flute is a double flute. And I brought it here today to show you.
Can you play something?
I would love to. Let's hear a little bit of number seven, and then I would love to play some of that drone so you may hear it live. And it'll be your song. Everyone listening and everyone in this room. If you think of, while the insert is being played, if you can stop and think of something that's the most beautiful that has changed your life, and just think it. And while you're thinking, I'm going to pick that up and then play a song that's going to be your original song.
Okay, here's a little bit of Mother's Heartbeat. Wow, that was beautiful.
Thank you so very, very much. Thank you.
So we're thinking good, positive, beautiful thoughts.
Yes.
Happy thoughts.
Yes.
And we're about to hear a drone flute.
Yes. Thank you. Your song.
So as a medicine woman, how did you get into music?
Oh, that's wonderful. My medicine comes from my grandmother's side and my mother's side. I'm generational. You know, I say that I'm third generation because of many different situations. Matter of fact, I'm many generations. And I have also taught my children who are going to be the generational also. But my father was a Cherokee drummer. And he also taught us. We were always raised with powwows and music, all different kinds of genres of music. And I was really, really drawn to the Native, of course. You know, my mother was Mi'kmaq. and my father was Cherokee. And my grandmother taught me all the medicine. My mother was an aromatherapist and an herbalist. I never knew a medication. You know, when people had those little pill bottles, said Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, you know, yes. I had those where they're filled with kelp and cod liver oils and, you know, it was like horrible, Whoa. You know, but it made me very, very healthy and very strong. And she knew that some of us had to pass things on. So here I am. And no matter, I always told her, no matter what I came across, what sticks that come across in the path, I will always, always honor her and respect her and in our ways. Because I need to be taught. So the music also is being lost. Everything, you know, Native American languages, our music, our ceremonies, they're all being lost. And when I go and visit the children and the elders on reservations, and I ask the elders, you know, grandmother, grandfather, what is your desire for the young? And they'll say, I wish they would know their language and keep up their traditions. They're being lost. So right now, 75% of Native American children is suicidal. And we have lost that. That's a big, big percentage. Mm. So I also work with teenage suicide prevention about that. It's all about we have to bring hope to the young and never, ever give up the old traditions. Never, ever give up the old traditions.
Tell me about this charity for the children.
We work with the young, and we also work with the homeless, which we call them earthwalkers, because what we're trying to do is they are our future. That's not an original saying, but it has to be said more often, much more often, because people aren't listening anymore. So no matter what, I promised my grandmother that I would keep up the traditions. I would always save and help the young. And I love children. I have raised a lot of children, and I've had 3 birth children and some beautiful stepchildren. We raised them together. I was so blessed by that, and I still am. And now I have a grandchild that is also learning our traditions. And, you know, matter of fact, she's like my little manager. If I forget a word or if I say it, she's like right on it. So she knows the language and the drumming and the rattle. She was just received her first little flute. And her own little drum. We just performed at a charity in Maine for a child, and it's still going on, for an adoption. This beautiful, beautiful girl, Gracie, needs to be adopted in this wonderful family. And we went out there with my daughters. My daughter is on a drum out there called Winds of Change, and it is a mixed drum, so they're keeping up their traditions. Which
your
is
daughter,
phenomenal.
Your daughter danced in Descanso. Was that
well,
your daughter?
That's my other daughter. Yes, okay. Both my children. I have an
and
older
she danced
daughter.
The robe dance, right?
She danced the shawl dance. Yeah, the Cherokee shawl dance. Yes. That's my youngest daughter. She toured with us all mm-hmm. those years. This is my oldest daughter, who also, when she grew up, and my son also, when they grew up, they also grew up with the Native American culture and the outside culture. They were raised and they were put in public schools. But on the powwows, they danced for the powwows and did traditional drums, singing, and dancing. And now she's back into it and teaching her daughter. So it was phenomenal to see. So we were out there and we used their drum, and I performed. We raised $2,500 for this family, and they actually need some more at all times right now, because raising or adopting a child for the cause is like $18,000 nowadays.
Oh, my.
Yeah, for the court costs, for the lawyer costs, things like that. Gracie's 18 months old, and so she needs to go to this family.
Where can we find more information about your music? And do you have a website?
I do have a website. Our music website is Windwalker and the, capital M, capital C, and capital W. Windwalker and the MCW. And you can see all our music and everything that we've been doing there. Oh, my goodness. The photo of our album, of our CD, Generations, our sponsor was the Wild Horse Mustang Horse Sanctuary in Black Hills, South
That's
Dakota.
Right.
Yeah.
And there's a picture of wild horses? Is this?
That's it.
That's the. Oh my goodness.
That's only one herd. About the Black Hills Wild Horse Sanctuary, they are one of our sponsors, one of our biggest sponsors. They really believe in culture. They actually even have a Sundance there every year for the Lakota on the land, on the property, with all honor. And Tom Cook, who is Iroquois, comes out and runs that. He's a phenomenal grandfather who believes in sharing the cultures also, just like we do. And Dayton Hyde is the owner, and Susan Watt is the director. And our producer, Carla LaReeve, is the head director of all the sanctuary. And another nice surprise is coming up with the CD and the pictures inside, which, yes, they are the Wild Mustang. And, yes, I did get to be with them. The last song, Prairie Road's Journey, we just traveled 8 states with our drum, and we filmed with our videographer and another producer, Christopher Crosby. With him, we picked him up in Port Townsend, Washington, took a ferry ride to Seattle. It was wonderful, and traveled all these states and filmed. We ended up filming at the Wild Horse Sanctuary, and all, of course, along the way. But Christopher Crosby is working on it as we speak to have this beautiful, beautiful video of this song. And mainly the video that you do see are the wild horses and the set from Crazy Horse.
The movie?
Yes, yes.
Oh, my.
Yeah, I got to actually be on that set, that old set, and film it. It was incredible, incredible. The journey was just amazing, amazing. And I just want to thank Dayton Hyde and Susan Watt and Carla LaReeve and Christopher Crosby. And, you know, and our group is Dana and Carly and Karen Spirit Bear and myself, and all the other producers that are here, and all the love and the care of all our fans and friends and family that believe in us.
Wow, I'd really like to see the video.
Oh, thank you so much. We had such a blast. I love the transformation of me being, it's like country boy and country girl and Indian. And you can picture almost like a 1930 old truck, you know, with an old cowboy picking up a Native American and going, where are you going on your journey? And it's all about that. It's all about your own journey in life. And it's just incredible in how with the transformation of when you see it, where I'm in like country western clothes, and I'm actually wearing my sister's boots, and they were size big, so bigger than I am, so it's even funnier. But they worked all the way up to my sister and I on the top. Took about 45 minutes crossing over the Cheyenne River and up these mountains and looking down where there's nothing on the side of us. And thank goodness Carla is just driving it and Christopher were driving it. And we get up to the top of this wild horse sanctuary where these Mustangs do not see humans very often, because they do. You know, they are a family-run business where they have – you can go there and have tours to see the wild Mustangs. And you can look it up at Wild Mustangs. The Black Hills Wild Horse Sanctuary. But there is some that are really, really so wild, they very rarely see humans unless something goes wrong. And we went up there with them, and we get to do ceremony, and we get to also do it, and we're in full regalia from there on. And in this full regalia with the drum and smudging and just having this beautiful moment with the wild horses and our traditions and keeping up and honoring the traditions. And I'm so pleased that our group honors these songs, because the other songs on the CD are traditional songs from the Mi'kmaq, the Lenape, and the Cherokee that were passed down.
That's wonderful. Thank you.
Thank you.
I have two questions for you now.
Absolutely.
One, I want you if you could speak a little bit more about the charity with the children and the arts. And do you have a website for that?
It's the Arts Institute for Children. You can look that up. And Sam is the owner and the co-founder of this, and it's out of L.A. And also he is signing up with another wonderful man in New York as we speak. And all proceeds of this charity go to children all over the world. Wynn Walker and the MCW Group just donated quite a bit of money to children in India. for school supplies and art supplies. We also give
Indians.
Indians help Indians. We're all related. You know, my grandma had a saying, if we'd sit in a place and watch like a park, you know, and we'd sit there and she'd say, oh, if that little boy fell down and scraped his knee and he bled, he'd bleed red. Oh, that woman with fiery red hair, I bet she's Irish. If she cut her finger and she bled, she'd bleed red. You know, you have to realize that we're all related and we all are native in some way. So, you know, this is all, it's just wonderful. So the Arts for Institute is amazing. We also buy djembe and we buy instruments for the children, whatever they need, whatever they need. We also work with the Earthwalkers, the homeless children. So it's wonderful there. A lot of times when I go to Ocean Beach, or everyone knows it as OB, I always bring extra food. And I also bring dog food and cat food. Because, yeah, a lot of people, when you go there, you know, that's just a kind of nice thing to do. We're also going to be starting working with the Monarch School of the Homeless Children.
It's a shame that there has to even be him.
I know.
Homeless children.
I know. That's why we call them Earthwalkers. I was actually told that by a man who came up to me at the beach. And he said, excuse me, ma'am, do you have any extra food? And I said, sure. And he said, well, I want to trade these oils. I said, no, I'll give you the food. I'd love to give you the food. He said, no, but I'd like to trade. And I said, but I really, I bring extra food. And I was a little proud. I was happy to say this. I was excited to him. And I said, oh, well, I work with the homeless children. And I tell him, he said, ma'am, I'm not homeless. Earth is my home.
And unfortunately, it's the only home they have at the time.
Exactly. But he said, but thank you. And I did trade him the oils and I did give him the extra food. And he went and sat over there and he prayed and then he ate it. And I realized this is his path where he needs to be. Because if he needed more, because I went up to him and I said, well, you know, I can give you socks. And he says, thank you so much. And if I need that, I know your heart and I know where to find you. So,
Windwalker also lives here in Lakeside.
Yes, thank you. I love Little Lakeside. It's wonderful. It's beautiful. And it's called Lakeside because of all the beautiful lakes and the waters that it surrounds us.
Those are natural lakes. And there's this unusual animal that lives down there.
Really? Yes, we do. And Miriam got to see it on our property after a healing she had. And that's wonderful. And that was a weasel.
Wow.
That was a weasel. That's amazing. Yeah,
Lakeside weasel.
Mm-hmm. Also, because Windwalker and the MCW were very, very big on healing of the waters.
Yes.
So we go around
our
the country.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, and we are inner waters. That's what I do with my medicine is I heal your inner waters mentally, physically, emotionally, and spiritually. And also we also go to waters, the outer waters, and we do ceremonies with drum and cornmeal and prayer, and we teach this. We just go around and teaching it. And then we have a feast with it, and then we ask people to even do that. I even ask people to start singing beautiful thoughts into their water before they drink it.
Good idea.
Yeah. Try it. Here's an experiment. Take a sip of water, wherever it's from, a bottle or a glass, and then sing into it. I don't care if you can't sing well. Just sing into it with happy thoughts, and then drink it again, and get back to us and see if you see a difference.
One more thing.
Yes.
Is there anything that we haven't covered that you'd like to talk about?
We're working on 3 more CDs. One is a children's CD.
Oh.
I'm also doing some songs for a speech impediment because when I was a child, I actually had a stuttering problem.
Mm.
And because I wanted to speak too fast, and apparently that's New England anyhow.
Mm.
and I have children on the children's CD. We also have some other friends of ours that are on a CD, and I also wrote a song that is about a friend of mine who journeyed on my birthday, and it's a little bluesy. I wrote it for her, and her name is Amber, and it was a wonderful song that's being released. And also, I'm going to be releasing 2 cover songs, an old song of Summertime. Remember that old song, that old Summertime,
yes.
When Living is Easy?
Uh-huh.
Well, I changed the words to kind of make it a little more personal because I actually want it to be sung at my eulogy because I am Windwalker. And I actually say in it catfish are jumping, because instead of just saying fish are jumping, because if it's really good day if catfish are jumping because they're ground feeders.
Yes.
So there's a reason to my madness.
Yes.
And also an old Barbara Streisand song, from the movie Star is Born, and it's called Queen Bee. And it's all about women empowerment.
Oh, I got to hear that one.
Oh, and it's incredible. It's incredible. We're going to also do a music video on that at Queen Bee's Cultural Center in North Park. Alma is the owner of Queen Bee's Cultural Center. So, yeah, be looking for
that.
Oh,
we'll look forward to that.
Thank you.
Well,
thank
it's
you.
Wonderful to have you here, have you back. Wind Walker and the Multicultural Women. And you can find that on the internet. We wish you the best of luck at the Grammys. Come back as a Grammy winner, and we'll do this again.
I would love to. Thank you so much. Thank you. Thank you. And blessings to all.
The San Diego County Sheriff's Department has withdrawn its plans for an emergency vehicle operations course at the Golden Eagle Farm in rural Ramona off Highway 78. The announcement came during a Ramona Community Planning Group meeting after vocal opposition from neighbors over noise, traffic, lighting, and disruption of peace and quiet in a rural community. Nancy Regler, co-owner of the Oasis Camel Dairy, raised questions over whether approval might lead to other law enforcement uses such as a firing range. Kevin Carey, a local horse breeder and attorney, also spoke against the project and promised a well-funded battle to fight the project tooth and nail if approved. Currently, the Sheriff's Department uses the parking lot at Qualcomm Stadium for training that includes high-speed pursuits, but interference from the trolley, other traffic light poles, and the presence of homeless people make the site far from ideal. Jody Mays, Support Service Director for the Sheriff's Department, told the planning group that the department will initiate a search for a new site, and the residents' concern were key factors in that decision. Reporting for East County Magazine on KNSJ, this is Tasha Matthews.
This concludes today's episode of East County Magazine's radio show. We extend our appreciation to the East County Wellness Center for our studio space, to the Heartland Coalition, our parent nonprofit, and to KNSJ 89.1 FM, broadcasting from the heart of East County and Descanso. We extend our appreciation to our sound technicians, Leon Thompson and Ed Barena, and to our producer, Miriam Raftery. We also thank the musicians who provided music for our show, Laura Preble, Jim Hannibal, Corey Clement, Donnie Gentile, Wooden Ambulance, Dusty Summer Road, A.K. Jules, Brian Boykle, Royalty Free Music, Frank Nora, Kevin McLeod, April's Dance from the Smart Sound Solo Simplicity Collection, and Turco, Nomads of the Silk Road.
We also thank the County of San Diego for a community enhancement grant to support our Destination East County segment.
If you have story ideas or would like to underwrite the East County Magazine radio show, please contact editor@eastcountymagazine.org or call 619-698-7617. We'll be back soon for another edition of East County Magazine's radio show.